Yeah, I was just asked to pray for a tragedy that happened locally. I think it was this last week here, if I'm correct. And that was the accident that led to the passing of Dana Hunger. He was all whispering. Dana Hunger, and as well for the family there. And then I know that CJ, who's connected to Christy here, was the one that was performing CPR, trying to keep her alive at the time. And so let's just pray for the family, pray for CJ right now. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you don't abandon us even in these sorrowful times. God, that in the midst of all the challenges that this broken world brings our way, God, that you are faithful. God, that you can bring us a comfort and peace that goes beyond the situations that we are facing as we look to things beyond ourselves. And so, Lord, today we lift up the Hunger family to you and just ask that you would bring people, gather people around them that can bring just the comfort and peace of the Lord to their lives, Jesus. Lord, I ask that all those connected to the family, Lord, that they also would experience just a sense of your peace, that there would be many people for those that don't know you that would be coming in with to be a gospel presence in the situation, Lord. And we lift up CJ as well, who's dealing with the trauma of being the one on scene trying to perform CPR. And Lord, I just ask that you would bring comfort and peace to him as well, and that you would draw him to you through this situation. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting that Christy would bring that to me as I'm about to speak on this message right here, if you want to put that up. Where is he? I think that you would be hard-pressed to find someone right now, this year, hard-pressed to find someone in the Christian church who isn't saying, man, is Jesus coming soon? Like, how much worse can things get? When is Jesus coming back? He promised he was coming back, didn't he? I mean, in 2023, what has happened? Well, in August of 2023, we had already surpassed the previous record of over $1 billion weather and climate events that was seen in all of 2020, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association. There were more than, as of September this year, there had been more than 15 million hectares that had burned in Canada alone of forest. The previous record, just to put that in context, was 7.6 million hectares in 1989, and the 10-year average for Canada is 2.5 million. Since last year, we've seen the Russian invasion of the Ukraine, which continues. We have recently seen Hamas breaking through into Israel and killing many innocents, over a thousand innocents, and capturing, taking hostages of over 200 more. We've seen Israel's attack on Gaza and the war there, and the world looking on and fighting over who's in the wrong in this situation. We see the impending possibility of a ceasefire, I believe, that has gone through by this point here. And we'll see how long that holds. But anyone that has watched the news in that region for any length of time knows that inevitably more is going to happen. We see North Korea, which just announced that they have successfully launched their first spy satellite into orbit this last week. We see Russia pulling out of the anti-nuclear proliferation treaties that have stood in place since the Cold War. We've got an economy that is waning, and yet again, we're being told there may be a recession coming in. We see inflation trying to keep us from having a recession, while at the same time, the government doesn't want too much inflation, so they're raising housing costs. And then, even though the rest of everything seems to be somewhat stable, we also see that food has been skyrocketing. Anybody ever take a trip to the grocery store lately? Right? Add on top of that the constant and persistent erosion of the rights and freedoms across much of the Western world. And I think that all of us would possibly be right to say, where is he? Right? Where's Jesus? He said he was coming back. 2,000 years ago, he told us, I'll come back. So where is he? And that's what we're going to talk about today. In the midst of all of the chaos, why is it that we can still trust in Jesus? Why is it that we see so much happening in our world today as faithful believers in Christ are capitulating to the world around them and beginning to turn into false teachings because it's easier and feels better? And people are starting to get impatient and saying, well, I don't need to put in all the work because is Jesus actually coming back sometime soon? One second. So let's pray as we look and consider these things. So Heavenly Father, today I just ask that you would help us to be able to not only process the things that are happening around the world, but that you would help us as well to be able to come away from this place with some answers and also with some inspiration to press into the things that you desire us to be doing, Lord. So God, today as we prepare to dig deep, and to look to you, I ask God that you would take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you would make them something worthwhile through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think anybody that has looked at the church in the West for a long time, and admittedly, like when we look at the worldwide church, we don't see this as much. There's actually a growth in the size of the church overall in the world. But in the West, what are we seeing? We're seeing a constant shrinking of the church year after year. Those that would say that they are people that are in church, it's gone from over 50% 50 years ago to, I think the latest statistics is 6% of people in Canada are in church on a Sunday. Most people that would say that they are regular church attenders now, instead of it being every single week, they're saying, yes, I go to church once every 6 weeks. I'm a regular attender. The paradigms of everything have shifted, especially in the West. And what we see, what we may experience, is a world that seems to be walking away from Jesus and from the principles of truth, right? And we see this around, too, as we look at exposés of large churches that are falling into disrepute. And as we see many denominations, formerly strong denominations and church bodies that are beginning to make decisions that go against the fundamental core of what they previously believed. And we might say, what's going on? Well, one of Jesus's close followers, the Apostle Peter, this is what he wrote in 2 Peter as the church was dealing with a lot of the same issues, in fact, that we deal with today. But I think as well, looking forward to the future, to our days. This is what he writes in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming, he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Oh, Jesus says he's coming back, does he? Prove it to me. Show it to me. You've had how long now? Why isn't he here? They come and they scoff and they walk away and they lead others to walk away as well. They follow their own desires. What's interesting is that when it says scoffing, right, that scoffers will come with scoffing. It's kind of a weird turn of phrase there. And actually here I prefer the translation that the New Living Translation brings across. Scoffers will come mocking the truth. Mocking the truth. Have you seen a world, church leaders and government leaders and just people in general who have begun to mock the truth? In fact, we live in a society now where much of what is truth and has been held to for thousands of years has begun to be seen as the antithesis to our culture's truth. And we say, what's going on? But see, in the church as well, this creates an issue because we think to ourselves, we see the things that are going on. Where's Jesus? When's he coming? We've been saying since Jesus' day, since he ascended into heaven, come, Lord Jesus, come. And it's been so long now. We see all these things in Scripture. You know, the time, the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's close. Where is he? And the problem is that as we look at things in this way, even those who would say, I'm sticking to the truth, have no drive to sacrifice for Jesus. Because we figure, yeah, he hasn't come back in 2,000 years. I probably got a bit of time. Right? We lose that sense of the impending return of Jesus. And we lose the drive to sacrifice for his sake. But here's what Peter has to say. He says, be patient because God has a reason for all of this. Okay? He continues on here and he's like, yeah, people are coming with scoffing. They're doing all of these things, but be patient. God has a reason. He continues in verse 5. He says, but they, that's these scoffers, these false teachers, these people that are giving up, they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Remember last week there, we talked a little bit about how God has power beyond what we can bear, beyond what we can grasp a hold of, right? That God, in fact, we're told, sustains the world by the power of his breath. That the only reason anything manages to hold together is because God wills it so. And actually we see here, right? Everything is reserved for fire being kept. Understand, being kept, a keeping of the universe for God is not a passive action. He didn't stick us in a drawer somewhere and forget about us. He is sustaining the world, keeping us in place for the day of judgment and destruction. And some of us might be thinking right now, hang on, Pastor Stephen, that doesn't sound like a nice God. That sounds like a big old meanie. Judgment, destruction. Hey, listen, I'm one of the generation that actually got spanked by their parents and lived to tell the story, all right? I think it's good, right? Did I think that it was very nice when my parents spanked me? No, that's why I ran away while they chased me around with a spatula, okay? Like, it's just is what it is. But guess what? I'm better for it, right? And sometimes we need to understand that the justice of God, number one, is not a bad thing because a caring, loving, heavenly Father has to have justice. Or who is he? How can someone be righteous and holy and perfect if he just says, yeah, do whatever you want. No consequences. That's called a God that doesn't care. That's called a God who says, you know what? My only option would be to absolutely obliterate everyone, so I'm going to just withdraw. That's called deism. The idea that God created the world, and now he's somewhere out there, but he's just left us alone. But God is active. He is present in our world, and a fundamental part of the character of God is his justice. But lest we begin to think that the justice of God is all there is, and we start to envision that angry old white guy in the sky that's pointing his finger and wagging at it. Oh, I saw what you did last Tuesday. Lest we start to think of that, let's continue to see what Peter says. Okay? So he carries on in the next verse, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day. Whoa, it's only been 2 days since Jesus was here. Man, that's not actually that long. It's quick. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. This is what we need to get to the heart of. Instead, he is what? He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to, but everyone to come to repentance. God is patient and he is loving. His desire is not for anyone to perish. His heart is not for anyone to have to actually pay and reap the consequences of their rejection of the God who created them. His desire is for all to reach eternal life, to reach repentance. Right? The Apostle John, he writes in the book of John in chapter 3, verse 16. What does he say? So, somebody quote that passage for me. John 3, 16. Yeah, you hear that? For God so loved the world that whoever gave for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He loved the world. And so he gave. God is loving. And while his justice, his perfect justice demands that the price be paid, in his great love for us, he paid it himself. The God who owed himself nothing was born as fully God and fully man. Since only a human being could pay the debt that was owed, but all human beings owe the bare minimum to God and in fact are born as sinful creatures that do owe even beyond what they can pay, but being fully God, who owed nothing, who had no sin, he lived the life that we were designed to live and was murdered as a traitor and a troublemaker. And when he did that, the God who owed nothing, who could have called down a legion of angels and been removed from the cross in that moment, allowed himself to die, not to prove a point, but to bring freedom, to bring justice in love, so that all who reach repentance, all who would say, God, I believe in what Jesus did, that Jesus Christ is God, that he died on the cross for my sins, that he paid the price, and that 3 days later, God rose him from the grave. I desire to follow you, Lord Jesus, and I want to turn from my old way of living, and I want to take upon myself the identity of Jesus Christ. If that is you, then the debt is paid. But understand that while Jesus has become the doorway through which no one can come to the Father unless it's through that door, if people choose not to walk through the door, they reject what Jesus did for them. But that's not God's heart. In fact, even as you read the book of Revelation and you read about the judgments, you see that a judgment happens and then it says that, and still they did not turn and repent. And another judgment comes and still they did not turn to God. God's heart is always not for people to perish, but for people to give their lives to him. He died for you. To give his life for you, to bring life and freedom to you. Peter continues, but the day of the Lord, you know, we're so complacent, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. It's coming. We don't know when, but it will happen. And I think sometimes we get really fixated on this. Oh, the heavens are going to disappear and the elements will be destroyed. You know what the scariest thing for all of us should be, actually, is that last line. The earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. What this means is that the day will come when nothing will be hidden from God. And I think because God already sees what happens in the world, from anyone else. The true nature of all who walk the earth, of every institution, will be laid out for all to see. the reality of the universe will be shown to all. And in that moment, those who have put on a mask of righteousness and goodness, but inside have been corrupt and unbelieving, will be shown for who they truly are. And those that perhaps we cast to the side because they don't meet our picture, our expectations of what it is to be a Christ follower, their hearts will be shown to be pure and loving towards God and others. All will be revealed. And so what are we to do about it? Peter continues on, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, because that's the only thing that matters. Everything else is going to be destroyed. Everything else is going to be laid bare. The innermost thoughts and desires of our hearts will be laid bare before God. And all these physical things will be crushed. Kind of seems in some ways kind of like Jesus talking about, you know, do not lay up treasure for yourselves on earth, but lay up treasure in heaven. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. I got to talk to us all for a second here, all right? Because I think a lot of us, I've heard a lot of people, I call out my dad because he can take it. When everything started going to, you know, pay at the pump with credit cards and, oh, we don't take cash and all that, there was a lot of like, I don't like this because we're one step closer to a cashless society. That's great. What does the Bible say? Don't hold it back. Don't hide from it. Don't go, oh no, it might move. It might move the tribulation closer. It might move the end times closer. They're going to come when they come, except we're actually told speed it's coming. Now, I don't know if we should go so literal as to be like, fine, I'll burn all my cash and we're just going to use credit cards and stuff like that, right? But listen, here's the thing. We're not called to dread it. We're not called to be freaked out. How many of you know that if you go to a Bible study someone's holding on the book of Revelation or the end times, usually the end goal is how scared can we all get? How doom and gloom can we all see these things? But that's not what we see here. We're supposed to look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. There's a reason why the apostles, all of them, used to say, come, Lord Jesus. They weren't saying, hold off, Jesus, I haven't gotten married yet. Hold off, I haven't gotten that new farm yet, for the teens in the room, right? Hold off, God, I just need to have sex one time and then you can come. No. Look forward to the day and speed it's coming. Let's go forward into it. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness, that means where all right things dwell. Wow. So then, dear friends, whoa, where'd we go? There we go. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. In other words, don't go chasing after all of these lies. Don't go chasing after your own desires, because after all, is he actually coming anytime soon? No. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Christ. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means what? Salvation. For who? Well, for us, but who else? He desires that none should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He's patient because he wants to bring salvation to as many as he can. He doesn't want anyone to die. And so understand that when all these bad things happen and you're like, why isn't God coming back right now? It's so bad. He should stop it all. Believe it or not, it's because of love. Because while the physical things that happen in this world can be so terrible, God, in his infinite wisdom, and from his perspective, understands that the greatest and most important aspect of the world is what happens in our eternity. And he does not desire that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance, that all should have eternal life. Let's jump down to verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. Be on guard. Understand, this isn't right. When a church leader does something and you're like, this isn't right, guess what? Go to them. Don't just take their word for it. Go to them and say, listen, you need to give me an explanation of so why you think this, and it needs to go beyond because it seems nice, or it's easier, or it feels good, or it's what everyone else is doing, or we want to be relevant to the times. Right? Hold people accountable. Hold each other accountable. Hold yourself accountable. Stay away from the error of the lawless and do not fall from your secure position. What are we supposed to do instead? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's what we're called to. Not to fear, but to understand that God's patience is a good thing. And instead of being people that get complacent and say, yeah, let's just coast through life. Let's find the easy thing. Let's get catered to in life. Instead, we're meant to live for Jesus with urgency. With urgency. You know, the earliest members of our church fellowship, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, their sense of urgency, and I'm not saying that all of their understanding of Jesus' coming back were all right on track, and they definitely dealt in some fear back in the day. But can I share with you what living with urgency for Jesus can look like? There would be these single women in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, and nobody would be going to these places in Africa, because they're too dangerous, they're too remote, they're too out of the way. And so these women, they would feel the call of God on their lives, and they would step up to the plate, and they would purchase a casket, a pine box, and they would load their belongings into the pine box, and then they would ship the pine box along with themselves as they went out to the mission field. Because see, when they went to minister to these people and teach them about Jesus, they understood that there would be no furlough, that they wouldn't be coming back home every 2 years or every 5 years, but that the moment they stepped off the boat, they might be killed by the locals. Or they might spend 20 years living in a tent, ministering to the people there. But the one thing that they did know was that they wouldn't be coming back alive. That they'd be coming back in that pine box. Because there was an urgency in their lives that everything was going to be passing away at a moment that we wouldn't know. And they understood that the heart of God is that none should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so they weren't happy to sit around in ivory towers looking at the rest of the world saying they're not good enough, or to pass by the homeless on the street and not have compassion for them, or to hoard up wealth for themselves so that they can be comfortable in life. But they gave everything, because they believed in the urgency of the mission that Jesus has given his church. Listen, if the whole world is going to be destroyed, if the universe will be destroyed at the coming of the Most High God, then we need to understand that the only thing in this life that matters is to live holy and upright lives and step into the mission that God gives his church. And his mission is not to look after me. If God is holding off and allowing all these terrible things in the world to continue happening, and the reason why he's being so patient and understanding is so that more people can come to him, then you know what our part needs to be? To share our faith in Jesus, to share the good news of what Jesus has done for the world, because that is the reason he has left us here on earth. It's not so that we can gather around and sing kumbaya and hallelujahs and all of that kind of stuff. It's so that we can be trained and equipped and encouraged and empowered to go out into the world and share with people that there is a God who loves them so much that he gave of himself for them. To share with them that though God didn't need to, he humbled himself for you, for me. time, that he is prompting you right now. He's saying, let me in. Let me reach you because I love you. I died for you. And I desire you to come into my presence today. And if you say yes to Jesus in this moment, you don't even have to pray the prayer that we're going to pray together in a second here. It doesn't matter at the end of the day because it's what's in the heart. We say the prayer in order to make it a confirmation to ourselves and others and to follow the command of Scripture that says that we should confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. But know that if you believe in your heart that you are saved, that belief is not just a mere, yeah, I believe it happened, but it's a belief that changes you, a belief that moves you. And so I'm going to pray for everyone in this room right now, and then we'll move into giving an opportunity for people to pray a prayer of giving their lives to Jesus today. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person here, and I thank you for their desire to honor you, their desire to know more and to experience more of you as they come together here, their desire to build a community around themselves that can help them to honor and glorify you more. And Lord, today I just ask that you would impress upon us the reality of the urgency that we should have for you and what you desire to do in us and through us. God, I ask that we would not grow impatient or weary, that we would not fall one way or the other to the false teachings that many are bringing our way, but Lord, that we would stand firm on our firm foundation, who is Christ. That we would stand against the assault of the enemy, and in fact, that we would not merely be defensive, Lord, but that we would go on the offensive. That we would storm the gates of hell, knowing that Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail. And so today I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would fill your people with your Holy Spirit, a fresh filling of your Spirit, Lord God, right now. Lord Jesus, that there would be fresh gifts of the Spirit that are given to those in this room today, whatever gifts they need for the ministry that you have for them this week, Lord God. Lord, that there would be a fresh boldness in their lives. God, that there would be a fresh compulsion in them for the people that need to know you, Jesus. So in Jesus' name today, I pray these things over the people in this room, the people online, Lord God. And I thank you for your still excellent, faithful presence in our lives. While everyone's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, no one's looking around, I just want to give an opportunity for anyone that's in-house here today. If you would like to say yes to Jesus, to give your life to Jesus in this moment, I'd ask you to slip up your hand. I'm not going to call you out or anything like that. It's so that I can recognize the people that I am praying for today. We also have some gift that we would like to get into your hands today online. If you want to just message the church there, or you can leave in the comments, I'm giving my life to Jesus today. We want to celebrate with you, but I'm just going to invite everyone to pray this prayer with me. All right, awesome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and I don't deserve your mercy. And yet you gave it anyways. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for your promises fulfilled. Today I give you my life. Jesus, please give me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and transform me by your love. I commit today to follow you for the rest of my life. And I thank you that even when I mess it up, you don't leave me, but you pick me up and you carry on beside me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart today, there's a card in the seat back in front of you that says connect with us. Make sure that you fill that out and check off. I just gave my life to Jesus. Give it to Al, who'll be at the back in a little bit here so that he can get a Bible and some resources into your hands online. Go to ascc.life and tap on I just gave my life to Jesus. And when you fill out that form, we'll get in touch with you in a couple of days and make sure that the same thing is given to you as well. Friends, sometimes it's good to talk about what's going to happen in the end without kind of that flare of the fearing, isn't it? So I just want to let you all know that in, I think it's January 14th, 13th, the second week of second week of January. I had it in my notes, and my notes are no longer on the right page, so I can't give you exact dates. We're going to be doing a five-week after-service course on the end times. I have a very creative name. It's called The End. And so let me just encourage you to mark your calendars, to stick around after service for, it works out to a couple hours because we wait till 12 so people can have their talks and everything. We're thinking we're going to do like soups and sandwiches, you know, sign up, bring a soup, bring a sandwich, that kind of thing. And then we'll just dig in, and we're going to go deep into how we can look at the end times, what the purpose is, and some interpretive principles behind that, and things that are important versus things that, well, opinions differ and it's not that big of a deal, kind of stuff. And so I encourage you for that. I think that Corrine, who's our person on the prayer corner today, she is busy praying with someone else right now. And so I will be available over here for the next 5 or 10 minutes for anyone that needs prayer today. All right. Otherwise, I encourage you all to just bless one another. Be encouraged that there is a world out there that God has put you in a position uniquely suited to plant seed, to till soil, and to water seeds, and even to harvest seeds at just the right moment. Wherever you're at, there is a call on your life, and that call is to live out the mission of God in your life. You don't have to receive a, hey, you should go into ministry, you should go to Africa or anything like that. Your vocation, your position in life, the place that you live, that is your call today. And so go forth and live out your call. Amen? Amen. Okay, you're dismissed.